Open to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. The young people did a really good job. It's the first time I think they're singing for this school year, and I know they'll be singing throughout the rest of the school year, and we're thankful for that. Also, part of the children's choir will have a special part inside the Christmas program too, and we're looking forward to that, and then looking forward to them ministering to us in song over the next 8 months. So they come every Sunday afternoon and they work hard in the back, and we're thankful for that. Same thing with our adult choir and youth. They work hard, and we're very thankful for the effort they put forth. And we're thankful, you know, just to watch people sing to the Lord. And been a lot of places, been a lot of churches, and our choir sounds good compared to a lot of places. So I've been a lot of places, and it's nice to see people singing the Lord, but it sounds nice when they sound good too. So it's happy that our church sounds good when they sing. So that's a blessing. I know you think I'm picking, but it's the truth. We're thankful that people serve and they minister, but it's nice when they're on key. So we're thankful for that. And so I asked the young people beforehand, I says, do you want me to sing with you? And they all said yes. I said, you have never heard me sing. A few maybe have. And they said, so you really don't want me to sing with you. So let's see here. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Tonight's message, we're going to look at a thought about keeping your heart stirred. I know I mentioned it last Sunday morning in passing, and probably even last Sunday night in passing, because I know it's something the Lord's been working my heart about. And I believe that one of the hardest things in serving the Lord is keeping our hearts stirred about the work that God's given us to do. It's just the reality is. It's to have our hearts stirred up and always excited about serving God. And there's a couple things I think we can remind ourselves of and help us to understand the importance of having our hearts stirred. And I'm not talking about a bunch of fake emotion. I'm talking about having our hearts stirred for the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we all struggle with it one way or time or another. It's called our flesh. Flesh is weak. Our flesh grows weary. And the truth is we cannot trust our flesh. Now, don't get me wrong. You can get stirred up for serving the Lord. It's not difficult to get stirred up. It's not difficult to get excited about God. It's not difficult to get excited about God's work. I know all I have to do is go to a couple songs on my tablet that I listen to, and then it encourages me, and I enjoy it, and I can get stirred up. But it's not difficult to get stirred up, excited about serving God. I'm saying the difficult thing is staying stirred up. See, there's a difference, because we can get excited. We can see those young people sing and get excited about, you know, it's the Bible, it's the Word of God. I need the Bible. I need the Word of God. And then tomorrow morning when it's 6 in the morning and you know you got a bunch of things to do and it's time to read the Bible and get something out of it, our hearts aren't always stirred. And there's like, oh, man, I know I'm supposed to do it. I got to do it. And we should do it no matter what our attitude is. But how do we keep our hearts stirred? How do we have a heart of rejoicing? I think the Lord's laborers, I think we should stay enthused about the most important work in the world. When you take time and you consider that the fact that what we're doing here is more important than anything else, and the idea that we can help people reach people's souls and see people saved and see people go to heaven, there's a lot of important things, but that's something we should be able to be excited about. That's something that we should be able to say, okay, this is exciting. This is something I get a chance to make a difference in someone's life. Not that's just going to matter for a few minutes, but that could matter for all of eternity. But why aren't we excited? Why aren't we stirred? Why aren't the church houses filled every time the doors are open? And why aren't we all just diving into the Word of God and just consuming the Word of God and singing with a heart of compassion and a heart of just zeal? It is easy to get stirred up. I know people, and I myself, I love going to revivals, and I like going to camps, and I like going to conferences with the teenagers, because you can get your heart stirred up. But how do you keep it stirred? And there's people that we could spend all our time and live in church and have our hearts maybe stirred more often. But there's something more to it than that. I think there's something more than just to getting our hearts stirred up by other people's preaching and other people's teaching and other people's singing. The Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 1:13, he says, yes, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, and he was referring to his body, he says, to stir you up, putting you in remembrance. And that's one of the jobs of a preacher. It's one of the jobs of a teacher, someone who's going to encourage you with a personal testimony, or someone who's going to encourage you with a great book. If you're not a reader, I would encourage you to be a reader. There's a lot of great books out there about biblical things and spiritual things. You know, you don't replace it with the Bible. The Bible is the most important, but there are a lot of great men and women that have written some wonderful books that help teach us and help us understand things. But I think it's more important than just getting stirred up at one point in time because you're excited about the things you've heard, you're excited about the things you've experienced. But many times, 10 minutes down the road, 15 minutes down the road, you get in the car and your family's there and something gets you discouraged. And instead of being stirred up and on fire for God, we are now wondering where that feeling went. So yes, we can get stirred up, and probably all of us have been at some point in time excited about the work of the Lord and excited about what God's doing in our lives, excited about what God could do in our lives, excited about what God's doing in our church, and we're stirred up about it. But how do you stay stirred up? How do you get to the point where we stir ourselves up? And that's what it says here in 2 Timothy 1, verse number 6. It says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Paul is here and he's writing out, and I enjoy 2 Timothy. I enjoy the thoughts behind 2 Timothy. Paul is writing his last earthly letter that we know of. He's sitting in prison. At the end, in chapter number 4, he says, "It's time for me to go." He doesn't tell Timothy to stop serving. He doesn't tell Timothy to stop preaching so hard. He doesn't tell Timothy, "Hey, look, this gospel ministry, this ministry for Christ, it has cost me everything. It has cost me my life. I'm getting ready to die for nothing more than just preaching and teaching the gospel. And I love you, Timothy. Don't go down this road." He doesn't say that. He says things like, "Be instant in season, out of season." He says things like, "Preach the word." He says things like, "Continue." He says things like this, "Stir up the gift that is in you." He's saying, "Hey, look, there's something that should be exciting, and in our own lives, we should be able to stir up our own soul and our own spirit to be able to serve the Lord." God gives us that capacity. God gives us the resources to be excited in the work and the service of God. But many of us are, our souls, our spiritual side, they're hungry, they're empty, they're thirsty. And we have a desire, but we don't really know how to connect the dots to keep ourselves stirred up. So there's a few things here that I thought about that I thought could help us maybe stir up ourselves to serve the Lord. Let's read a few verses here. We'll actually start in verse number 1 and go down to verse number, all the way down to verse number 7. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God." As we've been talking about in Sunday mornings, it's our journey. What is God's will for our lives? Paul says, "Hey, I didn't sign up to be an apostle. That's what God told me to do. Other people didn't think I should have done it. Other people knew I used to persecute Christians. Other people, he probably faced so many things from so many different people, so many obstacles." He says, "Look, this was the will of God for my life, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus." And then he says to Timothy, so we know who he's writing it to. It's inspired of God because it's recorded in scriptures. So we know it's applicable to us. It's something that's written for all of us to read and be a part of. God has written this to help reveal himself to us. "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son." Now, we know from the past chapters and the past books of the writings of Timothy and Paul's relationship, he was not Paul's biological son. But instead, when he's saying his beloved son, he's probably talking about his son in the faith, someone who he had won to Christ, and someone who has discipled, and someone who has influenced even to a greater way than his own physical father had. Then he says, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." And the great thing is, when you say that to somebody, you can have those things through God. You know, that peace and the mercy that he's talking about and the grace, it's there, it's available. And Paul is saying that it's more than just a greeting. He's saying to him, "Hey, this is what I desire for you." Verse number 3, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience." I think that's a wonderful thought, is that we're serving the Lord with a pure conscience. He's saying, "I've done the best I could with what God's given me. My conscience is void of offense. I'm serving God with the right heart attitude. That without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." So what he's saying is, as I remember you and as I pray for you, it's a way that he's stirring himself up. It's a way that he's encouraged, and he's doing it without ceasing. Then he says, verse number 4, "greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And he's talking about a time when Timothy and Paul had left, and Paul was very mindful of the tears, the love and the passion that Timothy had for Paul. Then he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. So Paul is remembering Timothy. He's remembering Timothy's faith, and it's something that is going to encourage Paul. You know, he helped win Timothy to Christ, and he has helped disciple Timothy. Timothy traveled with him. He has been called, and at this point in time, we don't know exactly where he's working at, but Timothy for many years was the pastor of Ephesus, according to tradition, and we see in this story, he's saying, when I think about you, and I think about your faith, and I think about the unfeigned faith that was in Lois first, and then in Eunice, and now in you, and I see how God is working, and I see how God is moving, and how the generations has passed down, how God has been faithful, it's something that encourages you. It's something that stirs you up in thinking and seeing, look at this family in a world where the rest of the world isn't really serving God, and in a family that was a split family, and the idea that the father was an unbeliever and the mother was a believer, you know, it's exciting to see that someone's choosing to serve God. It's someone to see that have faith, and unfeigned faith is something that can be an encouragement. But he has to remind himself of that. That's when he comes to verse number 6. He's talking about things that he remembered. He remembered his tears in verse number 3. He remembered the faith that was in his grandmother and his mother, and he remembered the faith that was also in him. And he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. He says, I want you to remember that thou stir up the gift of God. Now, he had been called into the ministry. I'm sure he spoke to Paul about that, and Paul has seen that, and Paul had helped develop this gift. And he says, look, this is God's gift in your life. This is your purpose. Now stir up that gift. Don't push it down. Don't press it down. Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, mind the putting on my hands. And then he encouraged him and says, for God hath not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's saying, look, Timothy, he says, don't let fear stop you from serving him. He says, stir up that gift. That is something that's in you, something that God has for you, something that God desires for you. Do not push it down. Instead, continue to stir it up. So there's a few things here I like to think about in this idea of stirring up our heart. Let's have a word of prayer, and let's ask the Lord's help, and then we'll jump right in. Dearly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the capacity that's inside of us to have a joyful spirit. Lord, it is amazing how you can work in our hearts and lives, and how we can be stirred up to serve you. And Lord, as the Bible talks about it, if we keep our minds focused on you, that you can give us peace, and that we can have a mind that is dedicated and meditated on your law to the point where we delight in the law of the Lord. Lord, help us tonight to remember a couple things. Help us tonight to have faith and believe and be willing to remember the importance of communing with you. Lord, I know that most people in this room would say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And I'm excited at times about serving when circumstances are great and right. But sometimes my spiritual side is dry, and it's lacking, and it needs something. And Lord, I pray these few things tonight would be an encouragement and help. And Lord, give me the words that you once said to explain it, to be able to come across with the greatest effect. To help us have our hearts not just stirred here tonight, but to give us some thoughts to help us stir our hearts on a regular basis. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, first thing, and you find it in the scriptures here, is remembering. Remembering. Now, if you look in here, he talks about in verse number 3, he remembered tears. He remembered in verse number 5, he's talking about the remembrance of the faith. I really truly believe if you want to keep your heart stirred up, you need to have a remembering and a thankfulness. The cure for grumbling is gratitude. Staying thankful for the privilege of serving God, the God of the universe. Rejoice that you get to work with him in this world. You say, how do you get stirred up by remembering? Well, there's a lot of things you can remember that can help you in your walk and things like that. And you think about it. For me, when I get a little bit down, I think about, well, I remember the day I got saved. I can go back to that day, and I know the Lord saved me. And then I begin to think about the things the Lord saved me from. I think about he saved me from hell. That should stir us up right there. God saved me from hell. He put me on. He gave me a job to do. And okay, so that's an obvious one. He saved me from what I would have probably been like. And I know what I was like as a kid. I know my own heart. I know my own flesh. I know my own weaknesses. And I know the friends that at different times I had at teenage years. And I see what they're like. And I see their lives. Many of them, they go to a church that would not be like our church. It's more of a church that is, you wouldn't call it a Baptist or anything. It's more of a community-style church where they can feel comfortable living in their sin, comfortable listening to ungodly music, comfortable partaking of alcohol, comfortable, you know, all types of things. I think you know what I'm getting at. But I think about what I would have been like if the Lord had not saved me, if I had not cried out to God and said, God, save me, and the change that he made in my life. I have no idea where I would be, but I think I would be in a mess. Many of those guys have been divorced. Many of those guys, and I'm not saying that's the unpardonable sin, but I know that I wouldn't have the family that I had today, and I wouldn't have the responsibilities that I have today, and I wouldn't have the joy and the peace and the long stuff. I wouldn't have any of the fruits of the Spirit I have today if I had not gotten saved. And when I remember myself and I remember, hey, look, the Lord saved me from a life that I would have probably ruined, and I would have made a mess of it. And I'm thankful for that. And I think about that the Lord saved me from hell, and he gave me a home in heaven. He's given me the Holy Spirit of God. He's given me his word, and the Holy Spirit of God teaches it to me, and he helps me understand it. He helps me learn it. He's given me an opportunity to pray. He's given me so much. And I mean, when you just begin to start thinking about things, you can stir yourself up. And it's something that you don't have to do. Is when you start feeling like your heart and your soul and your spiritual side is something that is kind of dry and kind of thirsty and kind of needs something and longs for something. Sometimes people put entertainment in there, and sometimes people put wrong types of friendships, and they try to fill that void with something else, but there's nothing more that can fill that void than to realize and remember what Christ did for us. And that's why he says, he is stir up. He says, I'm putting you in remembrance that God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He has a gift that he has given you. Now, I want you to use this gift. And I want you to be faithful with this gift. Now, stir it up. And I begin thinking about possessions. And, you know, there's things out there, and don't get me wrong. I know some people go through hardships, but I think about living here in this world compared to living in other parts of the world. You know, sometimes we don't have electricity for a little while. And I think about those storms that thankfully the Lord allowed us not to get much damage from, or hardly any damage. I know some areas was affected in our area, but I think about all those that are down there and they're without electricity. And remember, we have electricity 95% of the time. I mean, isn't that good? And if we remember that, it's not so hard to get through the times when we're spending a day or two without it. Yes, our conveniences are taken away, and the things that we're used to are taken away. But hey, we get to have electricity. We get to use the bathroom inside the building. Isn't that wonderful? Some of you, I know, used to have to go out to an outhouse. I've never been inside an outhouse. I'm hoping that I never have to go inside an outhouse, but I've heard stories. You know, guess what? If your bathrooms are not decorated, ladies, guess what? Go out and try to use it outside. You're going to be thankful for what you have. You know what? It's a way to stir up the remembrance that's there, that when you start feeling thirsty, we remember that God has really given us not only clothes to wear, but more than likely, you have a lot of clothes to wear. Amen. And you probably have more clothes than you have closet space. That's at my house. you think about it, if you consider this, you know, I'd like to have, and we look at the wrong things, we remember the wrong things. We've been forgiven. We can actually commune with God. God can actually use us to make a difference in someone else's life. And when you consider sometimes I don't feel like I'm helping here. I don't feel like I'm accomplishing there. And our souls become thirsty and become longing for God, and we can remember that God used us in the past. So, Pastor, I don't have that story. I've never been used of God in the past. Get your heart right and start investing in someone's life, well, that one person I've been trying to reach, well, that one person, there's a bunch of other people that need to hear the gospel. There's a bunch of other people that you could make a difference in. And like we learned about Elijah last week. I told you Elijah last week, I feel like his heart was dying inside because he did not reach Jezebel. He did not bring that nationwide revival that he was desiring. Even though all the other people saw a mighty act of God, and all the other people were shaking their heads saying, we believe he is God. We choose him to be God. And they killed the 150 false prophets. They did all those things. His soul became lacking because he forgot what God had done and was wishing what God would have done. But when we remember what God has done and how God has used us in the past and how God has brought us, if you ever get discouraged, think about the last person you brought to Christ. It's the last person you had the opportunity to help them see the need of being saved. Obviously, you don't do the saving. It's the Holy Spirit of God. You say, Pastor, I've never done that. And we need to be working on that because that's the great commission he's given us. You remember the difference that he's made and the resources, the joy when we lead someone to Christ, the joy when God uses us to make a difference, the joy when God just kind of pieces all things together. We think about that little girl that passed away today, and we always, our minds can always go, you know what, someone else has it worse off than we do. There's somebody, a family that's probably going through something harder than what we're going through today. And you know what? When we remember that God can put all the pieces together to work out his will, it's amazing. Sometimes when I get a little, not discouraged or wondering, you know, what in the world am I doing? I think about when God's call here in my life had come here. I remember God called me to preach as a young man, probably as a young teenager, and I accepted the call, but then I kind of ignored the call, and probably about the age of 25, God began stirring up that gift in me, and I went back to Bible college. I did things the hard way. I was in Bible college when I was working full-time managing the drugstore. I also even taught school a little bit during that time. Things were crazy, had kids. I did it backwards. I did it the hard way. Thankfully, I had a wife that stuck it out with me. But at the age of 29, I felt like God, it's time for me to go and be assistant pastor somewhere, talk to my pastor, and says, I want to learn underneath a godly man for a little while before I become a pastor. I knew that was God's calling on my life. And we began thinking about the different things, what we were looking for. One thing I was desiring is to have a full-time job, because a lot of assistant pastors, they become part-time. That was one thing. Lord, I really like that full-time job. The second thing is that I wouldn't have to lead the singing. Because usually an assistant pastor has to fill in wherever is needed. If it's one day you're the song leader, one day you're the toilet cleaner, one day you're the bus driver, one day you're this, one day you're that. Which if you're serving the Lord, it's a joy to serve God. Praise the Lord for that. But I said, I really, for the people's sake, don't want to lead the singing. And then the Lord worked it out, brought us here, and I was thankful that Brother Skip Cook was there and he could lead the singing. And then, Jim Feierig was a backup that was there. And there's other men that are in the choir that could actually lead singing. Even today, it would have to go Brother Jim not being here and Mr. Chambers not being here to a Mr. Parker or Mr. Todd and Mr. Al. It would be a long list, Mr. Gregor. I mean, it would be a long list before you got stuck with me. you know what? That was God working out all the details. He knew I couldn't sing. He put us inside a church where we could sing. And he thought that I go back and think, am I where the Lord wants me to be at times? And, you know, like, look, I pieced this together. This is where I want you at. And if I want you to go, I'll let you know. But it's amazing when you consider and think. And if you go back on your life and you consider your life and the times you've been living for God, how God has provided for you, maybe not always the way you want it, and how God has always taken care of you and taken care of your family, even through some hard times and through some good times. And you go back and just spend some time pondering and thinking. And in the end, you have to be honest and say, you know what? God has been good to me. God has, the blessings had outweighed the bad things, and God has always been faithful. He's promised me he's never going to leave me. He's promised me he's never going to forsake me. And if you ever want to get stirred up, and if you ever want to spend time feeding that dry side of your spiritual, take some time just remembering, you know what? He saved me. He saved my family. He lets me serve him. He lets me be involved with the things of God. It's a time of remembrance. Go back and consider. Consider your ways. Consider what God has done for you. Now, the problem we come into sometimes is we begin comparing ourselves to others. And the Bible says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some of them that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Sometimes people compare their journey to somebody else's journey, and they compare themselves, their journey to somebody else's journey, and they begin to become to the point that they become a little bit dry spiritually. They feel like they're missing something. They're no longer stirred up to follow God because I don't get to have this, and I don't get to have this family. I don't get to have these kids. I don't get to have this pastor. I don't get to have this ministry. I don't get to have this opportunity. And they start comparing themselves. If I had this, then I would be stirred up all the time. No, no, no. If you can't stir yourself up, it doesn't matter what you have. If you can't on your own go before the Lord and spend some time with the Lord and remember how good he's been to us and stop comparing ourselves to everybody else and say, God, what is it that you have for me? God, what is it that you have in my journey? God, what is it that you want me to do? And realize that whatever he has for you is the best thing for your life. Whether it be pastor, missionary, whether it be doctor, lawyer, police officer, teacher, whatever it is God desires, that's what's best. Remember and give him thanks. This will keep your heart warm. This will keep your heart tender. And this will help you to be stirred. The Bible says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. If you keep your mind focused on him and how he's taken and worked everything out for good so far, it will stir you to keep on serving. Second thing, not only is it remembering, second thing is believing. And don't worry, second and third point are not as long as the first point. My youngest son said today, hey, Dad, you spend so much time on the first point, you don't get as much time on the last point. I said, we do that on purpose sometimes, but sometimes we just run out of time. Wesley would tell me not to look at the clock. So second thing is believing. Not just remembering, it's believing. I know what some of you are going to say. That's what you talked a little bit about this morning, and yes, we did. But it's a key to being stirred up. Believe that God can and will do things in your life, even big things, in unlikely places and unlikely circumstances. I had a preacher friend that told me this one time, and he says he was traveling to a youth conference, and it was a small youth conference, and the teenager that went with him had been there, and he had seen been youth conferences where there was hundreds, if not thousands, of teenagers he preached at. And this one was just a very few. And he asked the preacher, and he said to him, he said, how do you stay excited about preaching to just the few versus to so many? How can you still be excited when there's only a few there versus when you have the opportunity to preach to so many? He says, I've seen you do both. He says, you seem the same excitement. You seem the same. You have the same zeal, the charisma, the believing that God's going to work. And see, that's the second point. If you really want to stir up the gift that's in you, if you really want to stir up that soul of yours, believe in what you do. Why do we preach? As pastor, because that's what church is supposed to be like, and you're supposed to come. If we didn't preach, we'd be bad church, and we wouldn't, you know. Why do we do things? We preach because of the fact we think God can make a difference through preaching. Why do we hand out a gospel tract? Now, so if I hand out a gospel tract because I feel like I'm obligated to and I have to and the Holy Spirit's going to beat me up because I don't do it, you missed the whole point. You know what's going to happen there? You're not going to be stirred up at all. You're going to become very dry. You're going to become very hungering for the things of God. But when you take a gospel tract and you pass out a gospel tract believing that God could take that tract and help save someone's soul, you know what? You're going to be stirred up about it a little. You're going to come to the point and say, you know what? This could make a difference in someone's life. You know, that's why we don't give out these things, because we don't believe they can. That's the reason why we don't talk to people about the things of the Lord, and we don't talk to people about their souls, and that's why we don't, because we really don't think it's going to make a difference. But we serve a God that can do the impossible. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And what the preacher was saying, he says, the reason why I can preach to just a few the same way I preach to a multitude is because of the fact I believe that God can make a difference in a few just like he can make a difference in a multitude. And I believe that God can make a difference. And if you really, truly want to get stirred up in your soul, believe what you're doing can make a difference. I don't care if your Sunday school class has one or it has 10. Believe you can make a difference in their life for eternity, and that's going to get you excited about doing it the next day. When you talk to someone and believe that you can help point them to Christ and that they come to a saving knowledge of Christ, that will get you excited and stirred up to do it again. But we become dry. We become to the point where it's lacking because of the fact that we become like robotic in it. And it becomes something that we feel like we have to do. And because we have to do it, we don't believe that it's going to make a difference. Now, think about the spiritual exercises. Do the spiritual exercises that we do, but do it by faith. Read your Bible believing that God's going to speak to you. Pray believing that God's going to answer your prayer. Forgive someone in the hope that God can restore. You know what? I hear so much more people saying, there's no hope for that person. Then I hear, we're praying that God will work in that person's life. They're gone too far. I won't talk to that person. There's too much going on. We don't believe that God can make a difference. We come to the realization that we're just going to live a nominal Christian life, and we're not going to make a difference, and we're just going to live, and we're going to die, and we're going to accomplish some things, but we're never going to accomplish everything God wants us to. You know what? Our hearts are not going to be stirred that way. But if we want our hearts to be stirred, we believe that God can. I like it when Paul said, when he was talking to those that were getting ready to have their ships torn apart, and when he was out in the sea, he said to them, he says, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I believe God. God's told me this, and I believe in God. You think about Spurgeon was saved in the back of a nearly empty church. You think about D.L. Moody was saved in the back of a shoe store. God is good, and God often does his greatest works behind the scenes in the smaller places, but they're with people who believe that God can and God will. If we believe in the sufficiency of the scriptures and the power of God, we will meditate on this, and this will always stir us. Sometimes the devil does beat us up, and sometimes the devil does discourage. Sometimes the devil says, look, no one's responding. Look, no one's getting saved. Look, this person didn't come to church. Look, this person responded in the wrong way. This person stopped coming. This person went off into sin. And we get discouraged. But if we continue to get up every day saying, I believe that God could use me to make a difference, we could stir ourselves up. I believe God can use me to make a difference in my family, with my parents, with my husband, with my wife. If we realize and we believe that we serve a God that can do all things, we will stand on the edge of eternity and say, God, whatever you want to do today, I'm going to let you use me. And that will stir us up to do something. When we don't believe, when it becomes robotic, becomes typical, we're going to be very thirsty. We're going to be wanting something and longing for something that only God can fill. You think about it. David stood on that battlefield against Goliath. He believed that God wanted him to take that giant on. Where were the other thousands? They were still on the hillside. What was the difference? David was stirred up for God. They were stirred up about the giant. I mean, what did they talk about? I mean, what did they say? Did you see the guy? I mean, he's huge, he's big. And David's like, who's that guy to talk about my God like that? They're stirred up about one thing or another, and we get stirred up about our circumstances so much, guess what? We forget to be stirred up about our God that can control those circumstances. Elijah, you know, on the Mount Carmel, he had all those different prophets there, called the fire down from heaven. You know, they were stirred up about their false God. But Elijah was secure. I think about Joshua and Caleb in the promised land. They're ready to go. What did Caleb say? Our God is able. I think it was well able, some type of adjective that's there. He can definitely do this. They were stirred up about their God. Now the other million, how many ever over there, they were stirred up about what? The giants. They were stirred up about the fences. They were stirred up in believing what they could do physically. See, that's going to create a void in your life. If you live your life believing on what you can accomplish and what you can do, you're going to be very dry spiritually because you're not depending on Him. When you stir up the remembrance of the gift that's in you, when you stir up the ability that God and God only can do, you know what happens? It changes from, hey, what I can do to make a difference to what God can do to make a difference. And that is a huge difference. I might be able to help somebody a little bit accomplish something small and menial here in this world, but God can take and save a soul. God can take that soul and make them a David defeating a Goliath, an Elijah calling fire down from heaven, a Joshua and Caleb. He can call someone to His purpose and His will and His journey for his life. What I can do pales. It's not even worthy to mention in the equation of what God can do. Believing. If you really want to get stirred up to serve God, believe that God can. Like Paul said, I believe God. God's told me to witness. I believe God's going to make a difference because He told me to witness. God's told me to give, even though it's just something that's small. I believe God's going to make a difference because He's told me to. And there's a long list of things, your spiritual exercises. Instead of just doing them because that's what we're supposed to do, do it by faith. That's going to stir you up. It's going to stir you up when you teach your lesson, when you believe that that young person, you can make a difference in their lives. Third thing, and last but not least, and we'll only spend a minute or two on this, is communing. Communing. I didn't know the right word to use, but I'm talking about spending time with God. There is no way to replace spending time alone with God and Bible reading and praying and remembering the things of God and letting God build your faith and commune with Him. Spending time alone with the Lord and His Word, gathering fresh bread for your own soul, the joy of discovery and the thrill of hearing His voice will reignite your passion and stir your coldness unlike anything else. When you read your Bibles and God speaks to your heart and you learn something, you grow something, He pieces something together, that's one of the most exciting things that could ever happen. That's the reason why you should record it and write it down, whether it be in a journal, whether it be in His Word, the different thoughts, so that way you can go back. And some, I have some older Bibles that are all marked up, and I love reading through those Bibles because I remember the day that God taught me and showed me, like that sermon this morning we preached about Daniel, about the four time, and the first time I remember reading that wasn't when a preacher I heard say it, but you know, he went back and he prayed a four time. He didn't pray when the law was signed. He didn't pray when it was hard and tough. He just kept on doing the same thing over and over and over. I remember reading that passage of Scripture. It says, but there is a God in heaven. I had that underlined, and it says, there is a God in heaven. All the other wise men, all the other gods, everybody else, nobody else could do that, but there was a God in heaven that could make a difference. And I remember preaching that message. I remember that stirs up your soul when God shows you something in His Word, even though maybe you've read it 100 times and it comes to a spot and it's like, that makes sense. Stirring up your soul, that makes sense. But that happens when we draw nigh to God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And you say, Pastor, I don't get anything out of my devotions. Well, He says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Do you believe? Point number two was believing. Do you believe God wants to speak to you? Because if you think there is a message in there for you, you're going to read it a lot different. It's going to be a lot different than you just reading it to mark it off the list. If you think God's got something in there for you today, guess what? You're going to read it looking for that something. I remember writing letters back and forth to my wife at Pensacola and Pan Atlantic, and they would deliver those letters. And, you know, I'd read that first letter, and I keep on reading it and reading it, try to understand everything she was trying to say in it, because there was a message in there for me. And if we are going to commune with God and we're going to believe that God wants to speak to us through His Word, and we're going to want to believe that God is going to speak to our hearts through prayer, and He's going to lead us and guide us, and we're going to take time and quietness to hear from Him, that's what's going to stir your heart. I can say that a lot of the things stir my heart, but when I'm alone with God and I'm spending time with God and God reveals or shows me something in His Word, that's something that stirs my heart in a greater way than anything else, because He's communing with me. The God of the universe is talking to me. not in some loud audible voice. He talks to me through his word. He talks to me through prayer. He talks to me. And if don't do that, your spirit's always going to be thirsty. It's always going to be longing. God designed you that way. You can't get saved without God. You can't have a right fellowship without him either. Salvation is something that's necessary for God, what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You can't work your way to heaven. Sanctification is something, getting where God wants us to do, growing in the Lord, communing with God. We can't leave him out either. He's made us that way, dependent upon him, dependent upon his words. The fire of the Spirit and the fire of the Scriptures will blaze in you. Vance Havner said that God is just looking for some good kindling wood. And I'm not talking about fake excitement, because we can stir ourselves up. Like I said, there's probably 5 or 6 songs I really enjoy. It's Under the Blood. I think about that. I get excited about that one. The Last Blood, I think about that song, and I'm thinking, man, that's the last. And there's a lot of great songs that can stir you up. But if you want to stay stirred, you're going to have to remember. Peter said, I'm putting you in remembrance. Paul is saying, I'm putting you in remembrance. God has been good to you. Remember that, and that's going to stir you up. But also, believing will put you in remembrance. Communing with God will put you in remembrance. G. Campbell Morgan said it well when he said, painted fire never burns. What does that mean? That means just putting on a show is never going to make a difference. Just because you do something in front of people, it's not going to burn. It is the Spirit and the fire of the Lord that is needed for our lives. It is communing with God and desiring God and letting God work in our hearts and minds. Remember the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter number 2. They had all those wonderful positive things that were said about them. He talked about their labor. He talked about their patience. He talked about all types of things. But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He says, because thou hast left thy first love. They were dry spiritually. There was something in them that was longing and needing. And how do we fix that? I don't have all the answers. But I know the times when I am most stirred up are the times when I am remembering what God has done and remembering what God can do. And believing that the work that we're doing is not just for show or just to be part of something so we can feel good about ourselves. But no, it's something that God can take and use and make a difference. But nothing can replace spending time in communing with God. I know we're all busy. We all have things what we're doing. But nothing can replace a personal time with God. There's many times when I sit down in the morning time to start my time with the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do this. I need you. I need you to speak to me. I need you to speak to me through your word because of myself, even as a pastor, even having years of studying and reading the Bible through how many times. God, I need you. And then that's when I began starting thinking about his attributes and thinking about how awesome and how wonderful a God we serve. And it reminds me that it's not dependent upon me. It's dependent upon the God of the universe who says that if I draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to me. So I'm saying, Lord, you said this. If I draw nigh to you, you're going to draw nigh to me. God, you said that you'll speak to me through your words. God, you said, and I there's those prayer promises that we talked about. And they begin to stir you up and get you into a heart and ready to bring our needs to God, to bring our desires to God, to bring our thankfulness and our hearts to God. And as we close tonight, how good are you at getting stirred up? I've seen some people get stirred up about some things. I've seen some people get stirred up things about things around here. Sometimes not even good things. Get upset. But the election time's coming up. And you want to talk about elections, you're going to get some people that are stirred up. You're going to find people, the football games that went on today, and I don't know who all won and lost. I like football. Steelers are not playing today, so you don't need to watch them because the Steelers aren't on. Who cares about the football if the Steelers aren't playing? But people get stirred up about football. You know, they get passionate about it. Some people paint their bodies, and some people go out there and they yell and they cheer. They get stirred up, right? How good are we being stirred up about God? And I'm not talking about going to YouTube and watching your favorite sermon. And once again, Peter said, you know, while I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to stir you up. I'm thankful for every preacher that preached a sermon that helped me and got me excited about the things of God. I'm thankful for every song I've ever heard that stirred me and pointed my heart, my mind to Christ and pointed my heart and mind to God. I'm thankful for every testimony. And sometimes testimonies can be just as powerful as the songs and even sometimes as the preaching, because we've seen God work and we've seen God move, and God is in those testimonies. Nothing replaces the preaching, but sometimes those testimonies are powerful. I'm thankful for every testimony I've heard. And they've stirred my heart. But it's for a short time. We go through revival. We heard revival a few weeks ago. God stirred my heart. It was only for a short time. Because the only way you're going to stay stirred is when you remember, when you believe, and when you commune. Let's go ahead and stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.